Sally Snyder, Coordinator of Children's and Young Adult Services, Nebraska Library Commission. Sally will be joining us this evening to talk about several topics related to youth services in libraries. We'll find out a bit about her responsibilities relating to her work in library services for young people in the state of Nebraska. And we'll listen to a book talk presentation that Sally has developed, which should help those of you who are going to be working on developing your book talks. And we'll talk to her about her experiences as a host on Book Talk, a radio program broadcast weekly on KZUM 89.3 Community Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can listen to Book Talk Live on Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 7 by tuning in to the web. Just a quick reminder before we start talking with Sally that Drs. Budd, Raber, Adkins, Seavey, and me we'll all be getting on board a White University van at 10 o'clock in the morning behind Townsend Hall and heading for the Nebraska Library Association Conference. We hope to have an opportunity to visit with as many of you while we're in Nebraska at the conference this week as we possibly can. And before we introduce Sally, the numbers for you to call, as a reminder, are 884-3803 in Columbia and 866-768 5483 toll free. And Sally, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. We have all of our connections working, so we're in good shape.
That's wonderful.
Could you share a little bit of background information about the kinds of things that you do as the coordinator of children's and young adult services in Nebraska?
Yes, some of the things I do are to give presentations to groups of librarians or teachers. And I also organize other continuing education events utilizing people in Nebraska or nearby states to give presentations on topics of interest to librarians. I also coordinate our youth grant program, these are for public libraries in the state of Nebraska for them to enhance their youth program in some way. Along with that, we do receive a number of review books, and we're developing a book review system that we're going to be introducing soon in Nebraska. We used to have a different kind of system, and we've revamped it, and now we're going to try a different approach with that. So that's another way to let librarians know what new books there are out there and what ones we feel are worthwhile to investigate for their library.
Okay. I've listened to the Book Talk radio program on KZUM a couple of times now on the web. How do you go about putting that program together?
It's developed over time. It'll be 8 years this coming December since we began, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long. We started off a group of about six of us, and we would go on the radio, and we'd talk about books that we like, and our tagline is, the show for people who like to read and like to talk about what they read. And that is definitely the truth. But after a while, we thought, this is getting boring because we all have our own opinions and ideas and we need to bring in other people. So each of us has responsibility for one show a month, and we find our guest for that show and our topic for that show. It's usually one book. Sometimes we'll talk about several, but we found that a half an hour is plenty enough time for just one book to really talk about it. We do try not to reveal the final denouement of the book, but sometimes we do let that slip. So that's always a caveat, you know, watch out because we might tell you more than you want to know. It can happen.
Very easily.
Yes. When we first started, I was really nervous the first time I went on the air live. And we're going to talk about a book, and I thought the time would just drag, and it flew by so fast I couldn't believe it. And that's really what we tell people who are coming on the show for the first time is I prepare a sheet that just has questions that I think we're going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
We never get to all the questions, never. I have not yet had a show where I sat there with 10 minutes wondering what we were going to talk about now. So I always tell people that, and they look kind of dubious, but after the first show, they go, you're right. We only talked about half of the things that we had listed.
What kinds of things do you have to think about, and how do you go about planning a program, selecting a topic, selecting a book? Do you storyboard it? How do you map the thing out?
I use my, I have a template, I guess you'd say, of questions. So I have a few standard questions I always ask, like, what was the one thing about the book that really caught you when you read it? Because lots of times there's one part of the book that people really want to talk about. And depending on the book, then there'll be other things that we discuss. For example, my nephew came on the show a while back, and he wanted to talk about If Chins Could Kill, which was written by Bruce Campbell. He's a real Bruce Campbell fan, and if you don't know who Bruce Campbell is, don't worry about it, but he was in The Evil Dead and all those movies. And we had a wonderful time talking about it. And what my nephew liked the best about that book was what Bruce Campbell had to say about having been in movies since he was in high school and then going into the television field. And he felt like he was a veteran, but in television he was a rookie. And he really talked about that a lot. So you never know what little aspect of the book is really going to catch somebody.
You're working with a radio station in Nebraska, so there are technicians and people who know what to do so the board doesn't blow up like the one we've got here. How could a public or a school librarian operating on a shoestring maybe do something more limited in their own library to get material or to get books, encourage, motivate teens to read? Is there some way that maybe what you're doing could be downsized a little bit so that it could be done on a local basis?
That's a good question. I think it's really possible. I would encourage librarians to talk with the radio station in their community that the teens listen to.
Good thought.
And just propose whatever you think is possible. Once a month, once a week, whatever you think will happen. It could be 15 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, and say, we just want to talk about books. And maybe you can get some teens to come along with you and do that. We've had teens on our radio show a couple of different times to celebrate Teen Read Week, and they loved it. They couldn't believe that they were on the radio, and they got to tell people what book they loved. So I think you'll find teens who would be enthusiastic to do that.
Why book talk? What's the purpose of, what good does a book talk do? I see we've got one of our master students is here in the studio, and Michael had to do his book talks last year. It was one of the things he was doing when I observed him, and he was doing it with a group of struggling readers. Went off very well, too. Did a good job with them. Yeah, he's thumbs up.
That's great.
Why book talk?
I think book talks are important to let teens, if this is the group you're addressing, to let teens know what there is available and what a wide range of things there are to read. I can't remember if it was Joni Bodart or Jennifer Broman who was saying a book talk is like a commercial or like a the tag for the movie. You know, you see the preview.
The trailer.
Trailer, that's it. They're like a trailer for the movie because what you're doing is you want to entice the teens to pick that book up and read it. So you want to give them a sense of what the book's about and the flavor of the book without revealing too much. And another thing that one of these authors said was, everybody does it. Every librarian who works with the public does book talking. If you're standing in the shelves helping a patron and you say, this book is about whatever, you're book talking. It's just much less formal than it might be in a presentation to a group.
How do you go about preparing for a book talk? How do you choose your topic, bring your books together?
Usually there's one book that grabs me, and I pick that up and I go, wow, I've got to talk about this book. And then I'll find other books that I want to relate with it. Sometimes the people who ask me to come do book talks have a topic that they want, a topic or a theme that they want me to stick with. And I try to do that, but I also try to look at the theme and kind of stretch it, because I like to think, you know, what's another way to look at this theme they're talking about? I don't want to go too far afield because I want them to invite me back, but I really do like to think about what's another way to look at this theme, and what book might do that. One of the things that I do, I started a few years ago, and it's really helped me. At first it was a chore, but now it's a habit. What I do is almost every day I sit down, I have an Excel file, and I put in the title, author, and a little blurb about every book I read. And that really sounds anal, but it helps so much. At first I thought, why am I doing this? Do I just want this list so I can say, look at this? But you can go back and you can look at that, those blurbs, and they can help you when you're working on a theme. You go, what other books had this theme? You can look through your list. And also, lots of times, what's in that blurb is really the key or the kernel of what I want to make my book talk about. Because that's usually what you write about, is that little thing that really caught you when you read the book.
Right. Do you memorize your book talk, or do you work from notes, or?
I write them out, but I don't memorize them because I think they sound too stilted that way, and then if you lose your place, you're stuck. I hate that.
Been there, yeah.
So I write them out, and then I use key phrases, you know, so I remember the order I want to go in, and here I want to talk about the football, and there I want to talk about the dog or something like that, and then I remember the order that I want to talk
so
in.
So what you're talking about is more of a map.
Right.
Rather than a word-by-word rote memory kind of thing.
Yes. It's the same way I do storytelling, is I learn the story, and then I have those phrases that make sure I tell the story in the same order that I want it told.
Do you ever book talk non-fiction titles?
Not as much, but yes, I have. And they're slightly different, because with fiction you have this story that's going to unfold, and you want the teens to think, oh, what's going to happen? And with nonfiction, what you want to do is give a sense of all the interesting things that are in the book that they can find. So you might tell them everything about one little part of the book, and then say, if you found that interesting, there's, you know, so much more in this book. To get them to look at the rest of the book, so to speak.
Do you have a sample book talk that you could do for us this evening?
Yes, I do. This is a quick one.
Okay.
But I'll do the book talk, and then I'll tell you a little bit about how it came about, because I thought that was interesting, too.
Okay.
Okay. How would you like to be 5,000 years old and have a 12-year-old boy giving you commands? As a genie, I must obey any magician who properly performs the incantation to summon me. I must do as he or she commands. But interpretation is everything. In an alternate London, magicians are the upper echelon of society and run the government. Nathaniel, now 12, has been a magician's apprentice since age 5, when he was given up by his parents. His master is a middle-level bureaucrat with limited skills. Nathaniel surpassed him years ago, but he has kept that a secret. The Amulet of Samarkand by Jonathan Stroud. And that's my book talk. I was giving a presentation to a group of librarians where I was talking about the difference between book reviews, book talks, and blurbs. And I had written a book talk that started out a little differently. It started out just kind of stating the setting of the book. And after I did that book talk, one of the participants asked me, should you ever give a book talk in the first person? Well, I hadn't read Jennifer Broman's book yet, so I said, yes, it's fine. If you feel comfortable with it, and if it's something that will work with you for you and the book. And then I picked up The Amulet of Samarkand, and I started to talk like I was the genie. And it was a much better book talk, and I said, I'm going to write this down. And I sat down and wrote it right there, I mean, a little bit of it right there, so I would remember. So you never know how your book talks are going to develop.
Okay. Let's do phone numbers one more time and see if anyone has any questions for you. Or if they want to talk about what they're reading or their projects or kind of open it up a little bit. In Columbia, it's 884-3803 and toll-free 866-768-5483. And we've got, if Bill Hume is listening this evening, I don't know if he is or not, but Bill, if you're listening, would you give us a call and tell us about your project? No one else knows what you're up to and what's going on, and I think what you're doing with your project is really neat and exciting. And I think there were some people in the Kansas City area that had been talking about getting together and working together on the project. Also, something came up in a meeting last Thursday. Someone in it's a group of higher ed faculty. Someone suggested the possibility of book talking the Gateway books and putting together a little program that would briefly go through those award winners, and then that could be replayed again for teens, or it could be put on a loop. It could be used in a school library or a public library. Kind of going through here. What other kinds of things do you do in your work, Sally? Are you accessible to all the public librarians in the state? Hold workshops?
Yes. We have about 3 video conferences a year, which works out nicely because there's a closed system that's owned and controlled by the state. So we can get on it for a reasonable price, and we can have 9 sites where people can come and learn whatever it is we're presenting. We've had one about, the title of it was, "All These Teens Are Coming Into My Library, Now What Do I Do?" And it was wonderful. I mean, I had 4 librarians lined up. They each spoke for half an hour. They had terrific ideas and information, and I got all kinds of compliments afterwards. And I didn't do anything. I just asked the librarians. It was wonderful. But we also videotaped that one so people could borrow the videotape.
Do you also work with people who are developing spaces for teens in their libraries? Or
yes. That is one area. We had Kimberly Bolentini, who wrote the book Teen Spaces, come last, May 2004. And she gave 5 workshops in 5 days. She was wonderful. And so that fall, we had our youth grants focus on teen spaces or Every Child Ready to Read, because we thought we should hit both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, the previous year we had 19 applications for the grants total. And last year we had 47 applications, and we were able to fund 33. And out of that number, I think it was about 21 that were for teen spaces. So there was a really tremendous response to this idea and this need. And the reason that we brought Kim Taney to Nebraska was because I had several librarians call and ask me to do some kind of education for them on the teens.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did, and the response was tremendous.
I think we don't. I don't think we. We're doing a better job than we used to. We used to not think in terms of spaces for teens. Teens were supposed to just adjust to the adult spaces. And in many cases, they were nuisances.
And or perceived that way.
Yes, yeah. Perceived that way. And I think by as much by adult patrons,
yes,
as by some of the library staff. And I think the establishment of teen spaces has been a good thing. And I think kids feel more welcome when they sort of have a place of their own.
There's going to be an article in School Library Journal, I'm not sure which one, that Kim Bolan will have written, and hopefully some Nebraska libraries will be featured in that. She contacted me, and I got her in touch with some libraries who had done some spaces and sent her some pictures. So I'm hoping that we'll be in there, and so everybody should be watching for that article. I'm not sure which month it'll be.
We'll kind of keep an eye on it and see when it comes up. Once again, numbers are 884-3803 and 866-768-5483. Any questions about the class at all? Sally, I know there's been some confusion the first 4 weeks, and I don't think students have been alone in that confusion. We are going to be switching to using the blogs once I'm sure that everybody can get in. And that's why I've kind of left it this week, kind of blogging and web CT at the same time. Also on the blogs, we are going to be limiting the length of postings to 9 to 10 lines. Since we can't break it down into groups of like 5 or 6, and you're going to be in groups of about 13 to 14 to 15 students, it can get really overwhelming when you're trying to read all of those postings. So, and I think the question that Sally, that you posed, what part of the book really grabbed you, might be a good question to use with everyone, you know, when they start, when you start talking about your books in terms of the question for the week. To go ahead and think of the book that you read in terms of what really grabbed you, rather than kind of doing a book review, and we're getting a lot of that rather than reacting to the book. So, do we have a question? The phones are flashing. They're trying to patch a caller through. Okay.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, this is Lisa Deffenbaugh.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello. I just had a quick question for Sally.
Hello.
Hello. I loved the book talk that you just did because it was really short and quick. And I was wondering if most of your book talks are fairly short to keep their attention, or does it change with your audience based on whether they're middle schoolers or high schoolers?
It does change. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What I think is important, and I remember reading it in Jennifer Broman's book too, is to have a variety. So have a few short, quick ones, and have a few that are a little longer and a little more involved, because if you have everything about the same length, then it begins to get too much of the same thing, and they'll start to tune out.
Right.
I don't want to go too long, because I'm afraid that if only some of the kids are really interested in that book, the rest of them also tune out. So I don't want
right.
to get too long. I've seen in books and other things, some book talks will be like 2 pages long, and that's just too long for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just me, but I think also you need to do what you're comfortable with. And then
right.
if you're comfortable, then the teens or whoever you're speaking with will feel more comfortable, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yes. That it's okay to make them shorter, because you don't want to give everything away. And if you're doing a shorter book, I'm assuming there wouldn't be that as much to talk about, too. So.
That's true, yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
One of the things that's a danger that I run into is that if I really love a book, I start wanting to tell everything about it. Well, that's too much. As much as I love the book, they should just read the book instead of hear me talk about it for too long.
How many books do you book talk at a time? If you're putting a set together around a topic,
yeah.
how many will you include?
That's a good question. I would say around 20.
Wow.
But I bring more than I can talk.
Okay.
But I want to be ready for with all of them. Oh, can I go ahead on an idea I ran
sure.
across that Joni Bodart posted on the YALSA-BK list?
Uh-huh.
She's wonderful. That list is wonderful. And that reminded me of this. She says, when I book talk to middle school kids, sometimes I put all the titles in the chalk tray and let the class choose which ones they want to hear about. And then before I start talking about the first title, which I choose, I confess that I didn't practice all of them, and if they choose one of those talks, they'll get to see me with a red face. They love it when they catch me. I thought, what a great idea to just
really?
Line them up and say, what do you want to hear about?
It is a good idea. Phone numbers one more time? 884-3803 in Columbia, and toll-free 866-768-5483. You said, Sally, that you had, did you have any questions about class?
Well, I
are you
yet.
Confused too?
I've logged on to the
blog
site, but I haven't logged on in the way that I can actually post yet. So
okay.
I have to try that and make sure that works.
If you use the, I don't have my cheat sheet with me, but I think it's that you go to the site and type in 9434 as the password.
Right.
And then it's materials. And then that gets you to where you can read what's posted.
That's I did that, and
okay.
That worked.
Then,
but then I wasn't sure what to do next.
Okay. If there's something that, you know, you want to respond to, down at the bottom of each posting, there's some links, and there's one that says comments. It's in blue.
Right.
If you will click on that and then look right toward the bottom of the page, there's a box, and you'll be able to type your response into that. But before you can do that, you have to log in under your personal username and ID.
Okay.
And I think the reason it's set up that way is to protect the blog from getting hacked from outside.
Right.
And one of the reasons that this software is a little more complicated than I think it would be if it were housed here at MU on a server is because they're using a piece of software to try this out and see how it works. Does it work better than the WebCT discussion board? I know when I've gone in to read the postings or the comments in blogs, it's published. It's what you've published. So when I call it an article. So when I go in to read that, it's much easier and there's a better flow than there is in WebCT with all the click, 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 click kind of thing. It seems to be working better. We'll give it a try. But that you should be able to go ahead and post that way, and it's set up so that it publishes immediately. That it's not you can't set it up so it has to be moderated. It also was sending me an email every time somebody posted for a while, and I got that figured out and stopped. But I'm sorry that it took us so long to get it straightened out. It's just one of those things that kind of cropped up at the last moment, and then Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, and the guy who's the administrator for the Arts and Sciences server went south for about 2 weeks because he has family in New Orleans, and so that put us kind of behind the eight ball on it a little bit. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
I think when we get used to it, it's just like getting used to WebCT, you know. I was used to Blackboard, and then we switched to WebCT, which at first I went, oh, no, but that I got used to that, and I think the blog, once we get a little bit comfortable with it, we'll probably think the same that you do, that it's easier and a better way to go.
One of the things that it will do is sort of automatically archive. Each week, as the next posting comes up, the old stuff sort of sifts to the bottom, and I know that was a problem with WebCT in the winter semester, that there really isn't a good way to do an archive. If you make it an HTML file and then post it, then people can't get into it, and that caused all kinds of problems, and it just, I thought it was worth a try. Of course, you take all your students on your adventure with you. You don't go alone.
Well, it's good for us all. We need to be getting used to these blogs because I think they're just going to grow, and
I think
everybody's doing it now, so we better know what it's about.
Okay, let's give them the telephone number one more time, just in case there's anybody out. I guess Bill Hume is not listening. For those who are out there, Bill is actually, he has book discussion groups in his, we do have a caller. Okay.
Hello?
Hello, this is Sally.
Yeah, this is Sharon Brees. And actually, I had a question about our podcast that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we're working individually, since I haven't linked up with the group, I'm understanding it's only, it should be around 5 minutes. So should you only do one book? And can it be any book of our choosing? Or I'm just a little confused.
Sally, you want to, about how many, if it were me and I were book talking, let's do it this way. If it were me and I were book talking, I'd probably in 5 minutes figure that I'd have one longer book talk and two to three real short.
Okay.
That go around that same theme. If you run under 5 minutes, don't worry about it.
All right.
Okay. As much as anything, I want you to have the see, you've already had the experience of calling in on the radio.
It was kind of scary. I made myself, but that's okay.
Primarily what I want you to do is have the experience of having to think, what am I going to have to put together?
Uh-huh.
You can't have dead air on the
right.
radio. It's and that becomes an issue, especially if you've got teenagers, because it's like a website. You know, if it doesn't come up right away, you're off someplace else.
Exactly.
And think in terms of, what would you tell the kids that you work with? Because I know you're in a school library, high school, right?
Yes.
What do you tell them about, you know, they come up to you and they say, okay, I need a book to read. What's it about? How much do you tell them?
Okay.
Basically, that's what you're really talking about doing. You're doing a 30-second spot for a book. You know, the 30-second commercial on television.
Right. Because 5 minutes, I guess, seems like a short amount of time, but when I'm in charge of filling up that entire space, it will be pretty long.
It'll go on forever.
That's what I'm afraid of. Okay. You think, 5 minutes is short, but it probably will be very long. Okay.
The other thing, too, is that once you're on the radio or once you call in, you're going to be a little bit nervous and you're going to talk faster. So
right.
If you've planned something to last 4 minutes, you better figure it's going to last three, because
mm-hmm.
you will speed up your pace, and that's one of the things you need to be a little bit aware of. You're welcome to use, you know, books that you've read for the class and put together a book talk on that. And that's one way where everyone in the class will be able to hear something about what other people have been reading.
Right.
I think the other thing that it will do is that if people, you know, if we have people book talking the same book, which
mm-hmm.
I hope happens, you'll hear multiple perspectives, different ways
right.
of coming at it. And then the program should be archived so that everybody can really will have an hour's worth of material that you can work from to
right.
create book talks or even pull audio clips from that. You know, if there's someone who's done a really good job, you have those books in your library, you'll be able to pull that clip and put it up on your library's website.
Oh, yes. I like the idea of book talks and the gateways, just because I tried to read most of those this summer,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't get all of them read. I guess that, obviously I wouldn't have time in 5 minutes to talk about all of them, but I could talk about, you know, my favorite, or just, you know, pick five or six of them or however many.
Sure.
And talk about those. Okay.
And if there's someone else in the class who's interested in doing the gateway books, you know, two or three of you could divide them up, and that would
That's a good idea.
That would just mean two or three phone calls in a row.
Right.
So it's don't make it more complicated than it is.
We're
kind of beginning to get into this LIS radio business and doing some work with David Christman, who's here on campus, is doing some work with iPods and
mm-hmm.
and the new, what do they call them, Nano?
Oh,
what better? They actually have the video coming out.
Oh yes, yes, I
mm-hmm.
saw something.
And I just think those are other ways that we can. Librarians can communicate with teens in ways that teens understand, and it's the
mm-hmm.
kind of thing they're using all the time.
Right.
So that's kind of why I wanted to go that direction rather than the traditional book talk or paper, another
right.
paper.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Answer and kind of put my mind at ease. So
thank you
very much.
Take a deep breath. It won't be too bad, Sharon.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
We have other questions or no? Okay, phone numbers one more time, 884-3803 and 866-768-5483. And Bill Hume is doing doing a book discussion with a group of his students, which is a regular thing for him, but they've got a book that they're really excited about. So Bill is going to record the discussion, and that's going to be Bill's presentation. His students are actually going to take it over and do it, which should be a different take on it. So that's another possibility that you might want to think about, another way to approach it. Sally, do you have any suggestions that might help?
I think what you were saying is good advice, because I was thinking the same thing, having one longer book talk and then, say, three shorter ones.
Shorter ones.
And it is true that when you get on the phone and you're doing your book talks, you will speed up, because it just, you're nervous, you're excited, and you just start talking faster. So if you can think about slowing yourself down a little bit, it'll be easier for people to understand what you're saying, and also then you'll fill your time like you had originally planned. But don't panic if you talk too fast, because don't hang up the phone and go, oh my goodness, that was terrible, because it wasn't.
Okay, and I think we have another caller, Shelley?
Sherry
Remington, I'll bet.
Yes,
okay. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick question about the podcast.
Sure.
I'm wondering, will this be pre-recorded, or will we be doing this live?
We can do it either way. If we need to pre-record it for you because you have other commitments, that's fine. We can do that. It's like the music that we do at the beginning of the broadcast. That's pre-recorded and put on a CD, and then it's queued up.
Uh-huh.
So we can do that with no problem. Software, there is a free software called Audacity, and you can download that and use it. Bill Hume is going to use Audacity and to do his recording, and says it looks like it's going to be really easy to work with, and so that might help you too with what you're doing. Or your other option is call in. If we need to record it, you can give me a call and we'll work that out.
Okay. I'm just thinking that if something is pre-recorded, it might be a little smoother. It might be a little more professional.
It might be. Don't worry too much about professional this time around. Worry more about content and just getting the experience of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking differently, because you don't really have an audience sitting in front of you.
Right.
So you've got to carry this thing with what you're saying and how you're putting it together, and it puts a whole other dimension when you don't have that audience in front of you to give you the visual cues, and you're going to be doing this in front of your mirror kind of thing, and you don't get...
I don't know, that might be worse.
I might. You won't get any feedback.
Right.
Which you normally would, so don't be too concerned about the professional end of it.
Okay.
I think you'll find that you can read it, which you can't really do, when you're doing it in front of a group.
Right.
So it can be scripted, but you don't want to get it too tightly scripted so it sounds like you're reading it.
Right.
And part of that goes to being slowing down a little bit when you talk and not talking too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But either way you want to do it, we'll get it there.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And do we have any other... Do we have another caller? No? No. Okay. They're shaking their heads. No. Okay. Sally, any last words of advice for us?
I was just thinking as I was listening that my last word of advice is going to be have fun. Because really, book talking is fun. And book talking, I'm sure for most of you, is something that's pretty natural. You find a book you like, you tell other people about the book you like. So look at it that way. You're talking to a group of friends, even if you can't see them, and you're telling them about a book you like. And I think that's a good way to think of it.
That is a good way. That's a very good way of looking at it. Okay, we'll wait about one more minute here, just in case anyone else has any questions. Phone numbers one more time, 884-3803. And 866-768-5483. And thank you, Sally, for being with us this evening.
You're welcome.
Got some good ideas from you.
I just want to tell you that every time I talk, I'm waving my arms all around.
I know.
Because that's how I talk. I wave my arms all over the place, and nobody can see it but me and my cat.
And the cat doesn't care as long as you hit it occasionally and pat on the way down. Yeah. But again, thank you very much this evening. I appreciate you taking the time and giving us the benefit of your experience. And thanks for preparing the book talk. That's really great. And will you be in at the, are you going to be at the conference tomorrow or Thursday?
Yes, I will. I'll be there Thursday and Friday.
Okay, so I'll get to see you on Thursday.
Yes, I'll stop by the booth and look for you.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
Okay, looks like things are quiet. So I think we'll, are we ready? Should we call it a wrap? They're saying sure. Okay, Sally, I'm going to go ahead and wind it up then, and we'll see each other, I guess, online, and we'll see each other probably sometime on Thursday.
Great.
And thanks very much, and have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's all for this evening's class cast. Our thanks to Sally Snyder for sharing her expertise with us this evening, and thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us this evening. This program will be archived on the LIS Radio website at lisradio.missouri.edu, and it usually takes 2 to 3 days to get it processed and get it up on the website. The intro music was Second Element from Sarah Brightman's Dive album. And keeping everything rolling this evening, wow, we have a whole crew. Jennifer Crispin is here, and Yi Chin, and Matthew Schmidt. So, and Paul Turner dropped by, and we have studio audience this evening, too. And occasional background vocals from the studio audience and Judy Ritchie's Reflector Craft. We welcome your questions, comments, and suggestions regarding LIS Radio. We will get 9434 straightened out within the next week, once we're sure everybody's on the blog. If you have comments, you can send them to me at essserl@missouri.edu. And if you would include LIS Radio in the subject line, it makes it very easy to sort them out from other email. So tonight we leave you with Sarah Brightman, Second Element 2, also from the Dive album. This is Dr. Linda Esser inviting you to join us on LIS Radio at the same time on this URL. Good evening. Wasn't it you? Who is feeling?